I'll never forget the day I was in a classroom teaching puberty, respectful relationships and sexuality sessions to grade fives and sixes. And the principal had told me before the session that we don't have any children in our school who identify as gender diverse. My response to the principal was, you don't have any that you know of, and maybe they don't feel safe to say that they are. Welcome to Talking the Talk, Healthy Sexuality Conversations. I'm Vanessa Hamilton. This is the podcast that is going to encourage and support you to be the main sex and sexuality educator for your child. Do you want to feel confident and comfortable to have healthy and positive conversations about sex and sexuality with children so that you will be the first person who educates them about each topic? This podcast will provide you with surprisingly simple and effective actionable tips to clear the fears and uncertainty around essential sexuality conversations with kids. Each episode, I'll answer questions from parents and cover a variety of different topics. As a bonus, you might just get that sexuality education you missed out on when you were growing up. So as my tagline says, let's get started. It's easier than you think. Just a word of warning regarding the content. This podcast is not suitable for children. At times, it may contain explicit themes, including sexual themes, sexual abuse, and other adult conversations. Mostly, it'll be fun, informative, and insightful, but at the same time, please be sure to pause and take a breather or check in with your usual supports if any sensitive content brings up difficult thoughts or feelings for you. I'll never forget the day I was in a classroom teaching puberty, respectful relationships and sexuality sessions to grade fives and sixes. And the principal had told me before the session that we don't have any children in our school who identify as gender diverse. My response to the principal was, you don't have any that you know of, and maybe they don't feel safe to say that they are. We had a very long discussion. That afternoon, I was in a classroom of boys. Now, we had separated these students into boys and girls. It's not my common practice to do so, but at this particular faith-based school, it was relevant because of the background of the students, and it was at their request, to the point where the girls had even asked me to cover up the windows with white paper because they didn't want the boys to see them learning about sex and sexuality. By the way, the content of the classes was the same for the boys and the girls, and my preference is for everybody to hear it together to normalize it. But in this situation, I was in a boys' class that afternoon. So there was a young child in front of me, probably 10 or 11. And listening to every word I was saying about the, when I give the simple version about human sexual diversity and LGBTIQA. And before I could barely finish explaining my sentence, the little one in front of me said, "What if you don't feel like you're a boy or a girl?" And my response was positive and neutral, and I said, that's right, lots of people don't necessarily identify as male or female. It's less common, and it can be quite complex, and it takes quite a bit of getting used to. And anyone who feels like that should really talk to a trusted adult about it. And we went on from there, and I did follow up with that child. You see, LGBTIQ is relevant to all humans, because humans are diverse, really diverse and unique, and that includes our sexuality. And sexuality is relevant from birth to death. So sexuality being at the core of humans is relevant to children as well. I find that most adults that I come across these days haven't had adequate sexuality education. And because the terms related to LGBTIQA plus can be quite complex, and there's quite a lot of them, people can be very confused. So I'm hoping to give you a very simplified version over a few podcasts to give you some understanding of the complexities and the diversity of being human and what LGBTIQA plus means. I'll also be giving you lots of tips to have conversations with kids and support young people. So LGBTIQA+ is an acronym that stands for the following words: lesbian for L, gay for G, B for bisexual, T for transgender, queer or questioning for Q, I for intersex, A for asexual. There is a broad diversity within LGBTIQA plus communities and a wide range of terms and language related to all things human sexuality. These relate to sex and bodies, gender, expression, attraction, orientation, experience. It's really important to acknowledge the complexity of people's lived experience, especially children. I'm going to talk about the things I've mentioned, how they apply to individuals in different ways and at different times across the lifespan. So to do this, there's an infographic that I'm going to explain. It'd be good if you look it up in the show notes. And the show notes are on my website, www.talkingthetalksexhead.com.au. Click on the podcast tab and you will find this podcast. And every podcast has several links with it that will help support you with your conversations about sex and sexuality with kids. So there's lots of infographics that describe human sexual diversity. So, but my preference is the gender unicorn at www.transstudent.org/gender. It was created by Trans Student Educational Resources, co-founded by two people in 2011 who were 16-year-old transgender women. And they have created fantastic resources for trans student equality. So it'd be good if you could have a look at the gender unicorn image while you're listening to this podcast. It will make much more sense. But otherwise, I'll explain as we go, and you can look at it at another time. Let's start in the middle of the infographic, the sex assigned at birth. When a baby is born, the adults in the room assign male or female to the baby based on the physical characteristics, usually. So most times this is obvious by viewing the genitals. There's a typical expectation of sex characteristics for male and female. And these sex characteristics include a human's anatomy, chromosomes, and hormone patterns. But approximately 1.7 to 2% of humans are born with sex characteristics that do not fit the typical medical notions of male and female. The term for this is intersex. So to oversimplify it a bit, just to give you some examples, sometimes it's obvious at the time of birth that someone might be intersex because there's not a typical expectation of the anatomy. Sometimes people's intersex identification isn't noted until later on. It might be when puberty occurs or when there's issues with fertility. And in fact, when I was working in a hospital with people with illnesses, cancers, brain injuries, spinal cord injuries and other things, sometimes people would be diagnosed with intersex because no one had ever done any investigations into their hormone patterns before. And now that they were having other illnesses investigated, it was finally identified that they were intersex. And quite often this came with a lot of relief for something that had just been an issue for them for all of their life and never been identified. Now, I've oversimplified that because it is quite complex. So that's physical sex, male, female, or intersex. It's not gender. You can listen to a previous podcast where I talk about why I don't like the word sex and how complex it is, and this is one of the reasons why. Kids will often say in class, they say, oh, yeah, that word sex, you know, because it's to them, it's a word they're not allowed to say, they're not allowed to talk about. They say, oh, it's so confusing because it's used to talk about whether a baby's a boy or a girl. They're so right. It is confusing. So physical sex, back to physical sex, we can say physical male, physical female, or intersex. It's not gender. When that baby's assigned the sex in the room at birth, then commonly it's assumed that their gender will match that female or male assigned sex. However, a percentage of people's gender identity, how they feel within themselves, will not actually align with the sex that was assigned to them at birth. And some their gender identity won't align with either of those two options of male or female that are usually assigned to humans at birth. So let's talk about gender. Gender is mostly inaccurately referred to as being either male or female. However, it's a social construct. Our society defines behaviours and characteristics that are expected or associated with usually being male or female on a sort of a gender scale or spectrum, if you will, of sort of feminine to masculine. And another description is that gender is a word that we use to divide people socially and culturally according to their biological sex or their physical sex, as well as associated learned behaviours and attitudes. In reality, gender is actually really unique and it's as diverse as the spectrum of human diversity. And each one has their own unique gender identity. When I was in another school, probably 11-year-old student came up to me before the session and they said, "I just want you to know that I identify as gender fluid and I think that's important for you to know before this session." I said, "Thank you for telling me that." It wouldn't have mattered so much as far as how I address the students because I usually don't use gendered language. When I say usually, because sometimes I make mistakes, I'm only human and it takes a long time to practice it. So I will say, "Good afternoon, grade five," or "Could all of the students over there come over to here?" So I won't say boys or girls because that excludes that gender diverse or the person who doesn't identify as male or female. Actually, on that day after the session, unfortunately, one of the teachers who was that student's class teacher, by the way, was telling a group of students, there was four of them, over at a table where they shouldn't have been. They needed to move on and go to lunch. And the teacher said to them, "Girls, you shouldn't be there. You need to go on to lunch." And within that group of four students was the student who had identified to me as being gender fluid. The teacher promptly apologized and said, "Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have said girls." Now, unfortunately, this was October and that teacher had been the class teacher for the whole year. So it really is expected that by that stage we should be able to practice language that is inclusive for everyone. So instead, we could have said to the four students over there, "To the students around that table, can you please move over to your lunch? Or could the four people who are at the table in the left of the room, the grade fives, the four of you who are over at the table?" So that's the sort of inclusive language that we can use all of the time. It doesn't matter to anyone else who it doesn't matter to, but it does matter to those who are impacted by language on a daily basis. So to talk more about gender, It's a deeply held internal sense of self as being masculine or feminine or a blend of both or neither or something else. Gender identity is our internal experience and our unique naming of our gender. It's up to us to decide what our gender is. On my website, you can look at the blog post I posted recently about how gender reveals are problematic, and I cringe when I see them because they're not actually revealing the gender of the child. There's so many reasons why I don't like them, those gender reveal parties. One, they're not identifying the gender. They're actually identifying the physical sex assigned by an ultrasound. And secondly, I'm distraught for the child when so many of the people who are supposed to love and support them are disappointed by who they are before they're even born based on their gender that's been assigned at an ultrasound. Individuals don't choose their innate feeling of gender, you see. You don't choose your gender. You can't be made to change it. But we do get to decide the language around our gender identity. So a parent once told me the story of their 3-year-old boy who said to them, "Mummy and Daddy, the boy has died and there's just a girl here. And that girl has identified their gender as a girl ever since." So there's many different terms associated with gender identity. Some of those you may have heard before, some perhaps not. And there's always been language around gender identity as long as human history. Some of these you might have heard before: transgender, gender non-conforming, non-binary, binary meaning there's only two, gender diverse, gender fluid, gender neutral, gender queer. When a person's gender matches the sex it was assigned at birth, which is the most common situation, we'll often use the term cisgender. So someone will say, I'm a cisgender male, if their gender identity is male and it matches male sex assigned at birth. So people might say, well, how's that relevant to children? But as I said the story before, our understanding of our gender identity comes to most of us when we're sort of very young. According to the American Academy of Pediatrics, by age 4, most children will have a stable sense of their gender identity. And to those who are cisgender and it matches that was assigned at birth, it's not really a big deal for them. For those who suddenly start going to kinder and realize that how they feel within themselves doesn't fit in with the world around them, that can be problematic. So this core aspect of our identity comes from within each of us. However, the word someone uses to communicate their gender identity might change over time. So naming our gender can be complex and evolving and based on the influences of our surroundings over time. Because especially as little children in kindergarten, if you think about that age, they usually have a very limited language for gender. It may take a person quite some time to discover or create the language that best communicates their internal sense of identity. And for those of you who are listening to this and thinking, I disagree with that, that doesn't fit with my values or my opinions or my faith or my culture or my beliefs, you see, that's okay. This is just the accuracy of human sexuality and sexual diversity. Now, you don't have to understand it. That's fine. You don't have to understand it. And I understand that it's complex when it conflicts with different things that we learn, such as particular faith-based learnings, etc. But my point to people who disagree that gender can be different than the sex assigned at birth is that you're entitled to your own beliefs. Everybody is. That's our basic human right. But we're not entitled to disrespect someone else for their experience and their lived experience. So important to be inclusive. And if you're talking to your children, you say, well, this is how human diversity is. But not according to our beliefs or our opinions or our faith, but we need to respect everybody regardless of their gender diversity. And if you are a parent who doesn't believe in gender diversity and is negative towards people who experience different gender diversity, you need to be acutely aware that children don't choose their gender identity, and your children may be one of those who experiences gender diversity. And we know that children that aren't supported by their families have very, very high rates of negative outcomes for their well-being, such as mental health issues. And most of that's being not because of their gender diversity, but because of the people around them. And we know that young people experience high rates of bullying and discrimination at school because of other children who discriminate against them. So as an adult, if you're not supportive of gender diversity, you need to think about ensuring that your opinion that you teach your children doesn't impact a child's health or well-being. I'll leave that with you as we move on to talking about expression. So if we think about gender expression or the presentation of how we present our gender externally, it's the manifestation of our identity to others through clothes and behaviour, our demeanour. So for example, hairstyles and mannerisms, body shape. And as we know, society sets an expected spectrum of femininity and masculinity. So, you know, adults are forever talking about little children with their long hair and how pretty they are and all those sorts of things, and how practically everything is assigned to gender in our society. Culture, family will perceive, interact with and shape our gender based on these expectations. that society has set. So, for example, transgender people will often seek to make their gender expression, so that expression about how they look, match their gender identity, who they are, rather than try and match it to the sex that it was assigned at birth. So little children choose activities that are often associated with their assigned or assumed gender based on social conditioning and the toys that they're given, but also on personal preferences. And fitting neatly into these expected roles is simple for many, especially if their gender matches that was assigned at birth and the society around them is fostering that. But for those who express their individual gender outside the really rigid expectations, they can have very different and negative experiences. Think about how you react if a little boy wears a tutu to kinder. And think about the pressure to conform and the mistreatment by peers and indeed adults that can cause difficulties for those choosing to experience their individual gender expression. So to all adults, we all play a key role in the safety and well-being of ours and other people's children, our children's friends, and we should be aware of the complexities of gender diversity and be watching out for the children who need our support. I'm going to do a podcast coming up about how to support children who are LGBTIQ. But importantly, we need to inform ourselves and teaching children about human diversity, and not just to accept others, but to celebrate the differences and celebrate the uniqueness of humans. And, you know, to be honest, most of the time, it's really no one else's business what gender somebody identifies as. And if it is your business and it is relevant to you, then you just simply ask the person. The last part of the gender unicorn infographic relates to sexual attraction, or what we would call sexual orientation. And this can be related to romantic, spiritual, physical, emotional attraction to another person. What I like about the gender unicorn is it breaks it into two sections. There's physical attraction and then breaks it into emotional or romantic attraction, because I think that's relevant for humans, because, again, that diversity of humans. So the most common form of sexual attraction that people are commonly aware of, they would say heterosexual, so or opposite gender attraction, so male to female attraction, commonly known as straight. So some other attractions to people are bisexuality, so that's being attracted to more than one gender, and that can be not only attracted to same gender, but also a gender other than male or female. Another term commonly used is homosexual. Common terms for that would be gay or lesbian. Gay, often termed as male to male, and lesbian, often known as female to female. Other examples, and students will always bring these terms up. They'll always know, someone in the room will know asexuality and pansexuality. Asexuality is generally when someone doesn't experience sexual attraction or desire to another person. And pansexuality is when someone can be attracted to a person for who they are, regardless of their gender identity, their sex assigned at birth, their physical sex, or their gender expression. So there's lots and lots of diversity around sexual orientation or attraction, and that's really worthy of a whole podcast in itself. But just to give an example of the difference between the physical and the emotional attraction, so someone might say, oh, yes, they're absolutely heterosexual, they're male to female attracted, but in their life they may have had an experience of same gender physical sexual encounter, such as a male to male encounter, yet they would say they're heterosexual and identify as heterosexual. And that's a common thing, and I see that over the years of people having lots and lots of diverse experiences, and sometimes and often people's sexual orientation, who they're attracted to, changes over time as well. All these things are typical versions of being human, and the idea of people learning, I've just given you a very, very, very brief overview because it's very complex and very unique. And there's much more to add, I'm sure, if we ask people with all different types of lived experience. But the key issue is understanding diversity, knowing that children This diversity is relevant to children. It could be your children as well. So making sure that language at home is around, you know, when you're talking about, oh, when are you going to have your first boyfriend or girlfriend? So make sure that it is boyfriend or girlfriend that you say to the child, or when are you going to have your first partner or romantic experience, rather than just saying males or females, because that language, they're listening out for it, especially if it's relevant to them as far as their diversity. So the other thing is, as I've said, for some people, probably not a lot of people who'll be listening to this podcast, but if it does conflict with your learnings and your beliefs, that can be complex for people, and I understand that. So reach out and do some further research and learning on my website. There's some good links associated with this podcast. But importantly, teaching your children that we celebrate everybody's uniqueness and we celebrate their diversity, and what people choose to do or how they live their life or who they are isn't actually really any of our business or relevant to us on most occasions. So that idea of respectful relationships is so, so important. So have a look at the gender unicorn image. I use lots and lots of different versions of it for different age groups, because we know that age-appropriate comprehensive sexuality education it means that young people and children have the ideal well-being. So you can break it down to just little conversations and include more context and more information as they get older. Thanks for listening.